Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Religious Education for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Adela Garcia, who is a community educator with the Women's Shelter of South Texas. How are you, Adela?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. I don't think I've had anyone from the Women's Shelter, and I'm looking forward to having a conversation with you and bringing awareness to our listeners.
Excellent.
On the shelter.
Great.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I have been with the shelter for almost 5 years. Right after college, or even in college, I've been really focused on youth engagement and character building, a lot of prevention, either drug prevention or violence prevention. And so prevention's really my focus. And so when I came to the shelter, the mission was really aligned with who I am as a person. And so it's just a great fit for me.
Okay, so let's go ahead and talk about the Women's Shelter. What exactly is the Women's Shelter, and how do you participate as community educator?
Okay, well, like I mentioned, the Women's Shelter, our mission is to prevent and ultimately end domestic violence and sexual assault in the Coastal Bend. And so we have our shelter facility, which most people think of when they think of the Women's Shelter, and it is located in Corpus Christi. And so it's free shelter for women and children who find themselves in a bad situation and need some place to go. And they can stay there as long as they need to help them get back on their feet. We also have outreach offices in Kingsville, Beeville, Sinton, and Alice. And so there's not a residential facility there, but all of our other services are there. And if they need to come to Corpus, then we have someone that can bring them to Corpus.
What are some of the other services that you offer?
I'm glad you asked, because that one's not...
We didn't plan that.
So. Yeah. Well, we have counseling, because a lot of the wounds and the scars we don't see, and those ones take a lot longer to heal. And so our services are for... our direct services are for anyone who's ever experienced violence. They've been in an abusive relationship. So it could be something that happened in childhood. It could be something that happened years ago. You know, we don't ask for proof or evidence. We take someone's word when they say they need our services. And like I said, they're all free for victims and for secondary victims. So a family member, someone who is also experiencing this trauma because of what's going on. And most of Texans, about 3/4 of Texans, experience this type of violence in their lives, either themselves or somebody that they know.
3/4 of Texans.
Yes. And so... this is something that we can say affects everyone, because even if, let's say, I haven't been through an abusive relationship, well, I have friends, I have coworkers, and they all have, their personal lives. And, you know, if I have children, my children are going to school with other children. So this is something that really affects the whole community. And let's see, you asked about other services. So I mentioned counseling. We have case management. And so when someone is in a hard spot, you know, there's other things that are going on. Maybe they need to find another place to live.
Financial hardships.
Exactly. And so if they are so dependent on someone else financially, that's not by coincidence. You know, part of this is getting someone so dependent that they can't leave. And it's really
on
hard.
On purpose.
Yes, exactly. So it's training someone to be this victim, someone who can't, you know, go out on her own. And it happens to men and women. You know, usually when I'm talking about abusers, I say he, and, you know, victims, I say she. And that's just because of the statistics. And we were looking at statistics earlier. So 1 in 3 women at some point in her lifetime will be a victim of either domestic or sexual abuse.
So 33% of women.
So, yeah. So think about, you know, the 3 most important women in your life. And statistically, one of them has or will experience violence. And I know as a community member, I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with 33% of our women, you know, walking around with this, and it's not something we talk about. And so, you know, a lot of it might be even removing the stigma and just having these conversations, because this isn't something I think a lot of us are comfortable just talking about, you know, saying these words.
Well, it's not easy, and I'm glad that you're here because we can bring awareness to the community. Mm-hmm. Now, I do want to talk about, I've heard before some people say, well, why don't they just leave?
Mm-hmm.
And I hear it in the context of women. Why don't the women just leave? Why is it that some women have a hard time leaving? And I'm not making any judgments whatsoever, mm-hmm. but I've heard that.
Right. Well, like we already touched on, when someone finds themselves in this type of relationship, it starts off really subtle. It's not, you know, I go on a first date and I end up with a black eye. Because, of course, nobody would go on a second date. I for sure would not. But it starts off small, little things. You know, you might say, oh, I can't believe you would say that. That is just something so stupid. You know, and it grows from there like a wedge. And little by little, it's, you know.
So like name calling. Demeaning.
You know, really putting down some, you know, the way somebody looks or what they're wearing, or one common tool is jealousy. You know, I don't want you dressing up when I'm not around. Or if I'm not there, why do you need to go? Am I enough for you? If you loved me, you wouldn't need anybody else. You know, why do you want to talk to your mom? All she does is talk bad about me. You know, just really cutting off those outside relationships. So even though there are people there, the perception is that that person now is all alone. So isolation is a huge part of it. And, you know, I've heard stories where she might not even be allowed to work because her place is in the home. And so she's financially dependent. Or maybe she wants to leave, but she doesn't want him to go to jail because, you know, how is she going to support her children? And children become a huge part of it as well. Let's say someone does want to separate, but they know if they get a divorce, well, the abusive parent is going to get custody. And they're not okay with their kids being alone with that person.
Well, because they're not financially stable to take care of the child.
Right.
And so some of your services are to assist in those kinds of situations.
Right. There's just so many different layers that we go through when we're trying to really deconstruct this, because this happens over time. And, you know, for someone to leave that relationship, they have to leave their entire life that they've built up. They have to make different decisions. And a lot of it is legal as well. You know, if someone doesn't have their immigration status, you know, there's a lot of myths going around about that they can be deported if they wanted to get a divorce.
So then fear is an issue.
Exactly. And threats as well. And those threats are so scary because they know that they can be real. There's the threats of reporting them to the police for kidnapping. Where in Texas, unless there's a court order, it's a custody state. So anybody can, if you know, if they have their kids, they can leave with their kids. They're kids. I know, you know, in different cultures, there's abandoning the family. Well, in Texas, we don't have that law about abandoning the family. You can leave. So we also help with the legal aspect of it, going through the court system. And, you know, I believe in our court system, but going to the courthouse for me is very scary.
It can be scary for people.
Yes. And, you know, where do I go? What door did I come through? Mm-hmm. Even going to the central jury room is just really, you know, nerve-wracking mm-hmm. for me. So I can't imagine going and not knowing what the court is going to say. And a big part of it is just waiting around. And so sitting outside a courtroom just waiting is really nerve-wracking. So we like to have advocates that go to court, that accompany our clients to the court, because let's say if they are in court to try and get a protective order. So just, you know, so they can have a piece of paper that says you are not supposed to contact me. You know, the defense attorney is going to make it seem like the victim's fault. Well, you know, well, she stayed. Why would she stay?
Why would she stay for years and years?
You're right. Mm-hmm. And, well, look how bad of a mom she is that she let this happen. And, you know, so our justice system is set up that, you know, the victim has to defend themselves. And so, you know, it's trying to protect the perpetrator rights. But, you know, we need to make sure that our victims' rights are protected too, because victims do have rights. You know, they have a right to have an advocate with them. They have a right to wait in a different area for court. But those sort of things we wouldn't know unless, you know, you look for those resources.
Well, and like you said, you're saying she, but there have been some cases where the men are victims of abuse.
Right. And I think the way our society is and the way our culture is, you know, our men are expected to be strong and tough. And so I think there's a lot more men victims out there who just don't want to admit to being in these types of relationships.
So that might be a cultural issue.
Right. So, you know.
So either way, if it's a male or a female, there's right. cultural issues mm-hmm. and fear. And just to kind of summarize everything, people are not educated to know what to do.
Right.
And so you help in bringing that awareness. Because there's signs and symptoms, or there are signs, I'm thinking of medical issues, but
right.
there's signs of people that are abused.
Right. We can look at red flags. And, you know, one approach that we really want to take is the bystander approach. So if you know someone who's going through this, how can we help?
We're going to take a quick break and mm-hmm. talk more about red flags on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
The annual Fall Festival at St. Joseph Church, 710 North 19th in Corpus Christi, is set for Sunday, November 2nd. Why should you go? For the live music, children's games, silent auction, karaoke, face painting, moonwalks, and lots of great food, including turkey legs, menudo, funnel cakes, roasted corn, Frito pie, and even more from the various food booths. Proceeds from this event will help reduce the parish debt. If you'd like to donate items to their silent auction or just get more information, call the parish office, 882-7912.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm speaking with my wonderful guest, Adela Garcia, who is a community educator for the Women's Shelter of South Texas. Now, Adela, before we get to the red flags of abuse, I mm-hmm. do want to mention some domestic violence statistics. Now, you did say that 1 in 3 women will be beaten or sexually abused in their lifetime. Speaking of men, 1 in 9 men will be the victim of domestic violence in their lifetime. 1 in 5 adolescent girls are the victim of dating violence, which right. I can imagine, unless awareness and education goes on, that's not going to decrease anytime soon.
Right.
We see it increasing,
mm-hmm.
Date rapes and things like that. 74% of Texans experience domestic violence as either a primary or secondary victim. And you had mentioned earlier that sometimes people witness it or know of someone that is going through
right,
this.
Right, right.
Okay. This one is, of course, very sad. All of these are very sad and hard to say, but 39% of all women murdered in Texas in 2008 were killed by an intimate partner.
Right.
The person they trust the most.
Right. The person that's supposed to love them and protect them and care for them is, you know, in Texas, the cause of most of the homicides for women, most of the fatalities.
And in 2012, 791 adults and children sought emergency shelter. These are hard statistics, but I think it's important that we mention them so that we can all be aware and try to do something about it in the little way possible that we can. Now, we spoke about red flags before mm-hmm. the break, and I want to talk about some red flags that we can be aware of to know that someone is suffering in this manner.
Okay. I think it's good to note that, you know, domestic violence or partner abuse or intimate partner violence, whatever we want to call it, the root of it is power and control. It's someone trying to have power over someone else, someone trying to control somebody else. So any behaviors that we see where somebody is being controlled, that is a huge red flag. When
as an example,
okay,
so like you said earlier, why, you know, don't talk to your mom, she only complains about us or
right.
me, or, you know, don't go out, things like that,
right? Controlling what somebody wears, they only want, you know, you can only spend time with me, I don't want you spending time with anybody else. Or even if somebody is out and their, let's say, their cell phone is constantly going off with questions like, where are you, what are you doing, are you with? What are you talking about? So keeping tabs on someone, that's really controlling. Maybe not being able to be around coworkers of the opposite sex, not being able to work after hours. You know, some things like being dropped off and picked up. So that way the partner knows where that person is at all times. One really overpowering one for me is jealousy. And I don't think we talk about jealousy enough. And I know growing up, not a lot of people said that jealousy is a bad thing. You know, how do I know if he loves me if he doesn't, if he's not jealous when I talk to other guys?
But jealousy is not a good thing.
No, not at all. Jealousy means I'm insecure. It doesn't mean I love you. And so using jealousy as, you know, I just don't want you to leave me, you know, that's very controlling. That's
very manipulative.
Right. Mm-hmm. So any type of manipulation, any mind games, making someone feel like they're crazy, you know, that's all very controlling and abusive.
Or unworthy.
Right. And so all of that type of emotional abuse, anything to make someone feel less than or to break their spirit down in any way, you know, and that can be, you know, verbal abuse is very, very harmful. Like I said, those are the wounds that we don't see. And once I don't feel worthy, once I don't feel deserving, how am I ever going to be able to leave? How am I ever going to think that I'm deserving of love?
So people just not put up with it, but they have to suffer through it.
Right. And it becomes the new normal. You know, once it's always going and always constant, it's just how it is, you know, and people learn to adapt to that. And like I said, it happens little by little. And on the outside, we may be able to see it a lot better than someone who is going through that cycle. And it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse.
Well, and during our break, I did ask you if you've experienced anything like this. Some of our listeners might not have ever experienced anything like this, mm-hmm. but you said no. But that doesn't mean we can't do anything about it for people that we see red flags in.
Right, exactly. You don't have to experience it to know that it's wrong, to know that people should be treated like people as individuals and as worthy people. And I think when somebody is in this, they don't have a lot of power. So it's hard for them to feel empowered to do anything, to look at their options. So I really think it's the responsibility of all the bystanders, of everybody on the outside to be there for that person.
The community.
Right. The community, family, friends. And I know we have this instinct to not want to get involved. And
well,
just,
it's scary.
It is scary. And it's you know, very dangerous. And I want to say that the most dangerous time in an abusive relationship is when that person decides to leave, because it's all about power and control. So when someone tries to leave, the abuser loses the power and control, and they're going to do whatever it takes to get that back. And so most of the fatalities that we see happen when someone is trying to leave.
That's what I was going to say. 136 women were murdered in Texas by an intimate partner in 2008.
Right. And so most of them happened when somebody is leaving, when they're filing for a divorce, when they're moving away. So it's really important that when we decide to help someone or someone decides to leave, that they really plan ahead for it. So what type of things do we need to take with us? When's the best time to leave?
Where am I going?
Exactly. And at the women's shelter, we can help with that safety plan. And even if it's something like if something were to happen in the house, what room do we want to stay away from? You know, we want to stay away from the kitchen. There's a lot of weapons in the kitchen. So these things that we don't really normally think about, we just need to start talking about them. And like I said, just asking like, well, why don't you leave, or saying, well, you just need to leave, isn't always the best solution for that person. So we just need to really
sensitive to asking that question. Now right? that you say it, it's like, why would anyone ask anyone that question?
I know.
You don't, you know, but people don't understand all of the scenarios and all of mm-hmm. the fear and the control that the other person has built
right.
over time.
Right. So this person who's being, they're being controlled, they haven't been able to make any decisions. So just asking them, what's the best thing for you, is empowering, because they get to make that decision for themselves.
And God gave us free will, and we need to respect that in every person.
Right. And you know, be there for someone and help them have that strength, because isolation is a huge part of it. And, you know, on average, it takes 7 times to leave an abusive relationship.
Seven times.
And so on the outside, it's really hard for the outsiders, because it's frustrating and it's heartbreaking to see someone go back to that, especially someone that we really care for. So just knowing and preparing ourselves as well, I know I'm going to need to be here no matter what. I know I need to make sure that line of communication is open. And sometimes bad-mouthing their partner is just cutting off that communication with that person.
Now, you talk, I mean, I'm just in awe at everything that you're saying. This is a new program for me, and I'm sure mm-hmm. some of the listeners. Now, you talk about some other opportunities that the Women's Shelter offers. For example, the Batterers Intervention and Prevention Program. Tell me more about that. And for short, it's called BIP.
BIP, yes. So our BIP program is for the people who are actually committing the violence. And this is so we can help this group of people who are usually court ordered to take accountability for their actions, to really talk about respect and what that looks like. Because I think an abuser wants to blame it on everybody else. Well, she knew she shouldn't do that. She knew it was making me mad. But it's saying, no, what did you do? How are you harmful? And how can you be accountable for your own actions? So that way, once we stop those behaviors, the whole family can be safe.
You also have the sexual assault victim services.
Right.
And what are some of the things you offer for those that have been sexually assaulted? Because that is a form of abuse.
Yes. And we will see what, you know, controlling relationships, sexual abuse isn't about sex. It's about power and control. And that's just one really powerful way to have control over someone, because not everybody wants to talk about that. So we have special counselors that, you know, really specialize in that. And we also have advocates and volunteers who are on the clock 24/7 whenever anyone goes to the hospital for a forensic exam. We have an advocate to go and be with them, give them options, and just give them an advocate to be there with them and
ask someone to show support.
Yes, of course. And this sounds silly, but we give them a teddy bear, because that is a very scary, traumatizing exam. And so we ask, which teddy bear do you want? So even something as simple as what teddy bear do you want is giving someone a choice.
And it's giving them their power back.
Yes. And so as much as we can give someone's power back, even if it's, can I sit here with you? Is there anything you would like to talk about? You know, and just being a source of strength, of inspiration, and an advocate, just knowing someone's there for you.
If people want more information, Adela, where would they call?
They can call our hotline. It's 361-881-8888 or 1-800-580-HURT, which is 4878.
Thank you so much for everything that you do. Stay with us. Deacon Nolte with Sacred Moments is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
It has been said that life is like the fruit that surrounds the seeds of an apple. The apple is our soul, and the seeds are the Word of God embedded in our very being. The purpose of the fruit of the apple is to be food for the seeds held in its core. The purpose of our life is to enflesh the Word of God, to allow us to live what God has willed. In the late 1700s and early 1800s, there was a man who lived in the colonies that became the United States. He grew up in the midst of the Revolutionary War and the early years of our country, and during his lifetime, he became well known for his generosity and kindness, eventually becoming something of a legend. You may know him better as Johnny Appleseed. He was a nurseryman who promoted the goodness of apples, going so far as to travel around several states, planting trees, and giving away apple seeds. What many people don't know is that John Chapman, or Appleseed, as he is sometimes called, was a religious man who preached the gospel to everyone he met. Today we live in a society that tells us that the only thing that matters is what we desire. At every turn we are confronted with messages telling us that all of life is relative, that if it feels good, do it, that we can have it our way, and that it is the me generation. These messages are so strong and so loud that it takes only the sight of a symbol to remind us that we are set apart as individuals. Unconsciously, we adopt these messages as our own and believe if we wear one brand rather than another, we are somehow better than others, that if we own this one thing, that we are ahead of the others, and being ahead is all that matters. The seeds of the apple contain the truth of all that the apple is. They carry the past of the apple, its evolvement through drought and fire, flood and good soil, into a particular type of apple, bearing a distinct flavor, size, and color. The environment and the apple itself determine the growth of those seeds. Will they sprout and bear fruit, or will they lay dormant and die because the apple failed to nourish them? The Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us that God created everything for man. Man, in turn, is created to serve and love God and to offer back all of creation to Him. This means that the environment around us, indeed all of creation, is for our use, but with that use comes responsibility. To guide us in the use of creation, God inscribed His Word in our hearts. He planted His words as seeds within our very soul, which contain the truth of who we are, created in His image and likeness, to know Him and love Him. We can choose to live according to the Word, allowing it to grow within us and determine our future, or we can deny it. St. Francis of Assisi said, "You must preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words." If we embrace God's Word and allow our life to proclaim His gospel, we will bear the good fruit by which Jesus says we will be judged. May your life be nourished by the seeds of life, which are the Word of God, and may your sacred moments be filled with the truth of being created in His image and likeness. Amen.
Thank you for being with us. I'd like to thank my guest, Adela Garcia, community educator with the Women's Shelter of South Texas. If you would like more information, please call their local hotline at 361-881-8888 or their 24-hour hotline at 1-800-580-4878. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
This has been Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. If you'd like to hear this or a previous program again, or download it to your device, browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Religious Education, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.